Well, good morning, good morning. It's very exciting to have everyone here for our closing luncheon. And isn't this beautiful?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you to the ladies who put it all together. Joni, thank you so much for bringing all your fun stuff. And Patty's putting stuff together in the back. Thank you for everyone who brought something to share. Thank you. This is just such a beautiful morning. And it is a super special morning. We have spent the last 22 plus weeks together looking at God's amazing word and about what it says and how it can, should, and is impacting our lives. We've spent time memorizing God's word, some of us more successfully than others, but everyone faithful to do their best. We've spent time praying together and praying for each other. And what a joyous privilege that is, to be able to approach the throne of God on behalf of a sister in Christ. And I think through the study of God's word, we've learned how to more effectively be praying for one another. Praying for their strength to endure trials, for spiritual wisdom and understanding so that they can walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. And be pleasing to him in all respects. And we've learned about the importance of forgiveness and how it impacts the body of Christ and how it impacts the effectiveness of our fellowship as we grow deeper in our understanding of what we have in Christ. And I know from my perspective, this has truly been a joyous time. And as Pastor John likes to say, at a baptism service, he's like, this is the best sermon you'll ever hear. Today, we kind of have the same privilege. We get to hear how the Lord has been working in the lives of some of our ladies. And that's the hope as leaders, that the time that we spend in God's word would truly be impacting us. Not just filling our head with knowledge, but filling our head with God's absolute truth so that we can walk it out in a manner that's worthy of him, to please him in all respects, to grow in our sanctification, to grow in Christ's likeness. And so we have that privilege today of getting to hear from some of our ladies. So let me go ahead and open up our time in prayer. Heavenly Father, we again just thank you. Thank you for your precious word. Thank you for your spirit that has drawn us to yourself, opened our eyes to your truth, given us eternal life through your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for who he is and what he has done on our behalf. Thank you that we can have relationship with you, and in that we can have relationship with each other, true abiding fellowship. Thank you for each of these ladies, Lord, who has been faithful to be in your word, who has been faithful to study, to share with each other as iron sharpening iron, building each other up, edifying one another, coming alongside each other, praying for each other. Lord, this body of believers, we are so thankful. So thankful that you have brought us together in this way, and that we can share relationship with you and with each other. Father, I pray that you would be with our time today. Thank you for just the privilege that we have of being able to meet in this beautiful place, Lord, for the giftedness you have given ladies to decorate and make food and things that are beautiful, Lord, that bring honor and glory to you as they share their special gift with us. Lord, I pray that you would bless our time together. I pray that it would be sweet, Lord, to you and to each of these ladies. And we pray all this in your precious and your glorious and your majestic name. Amen.
Amen.
So we have Debbie going to start us off. If this is being recorded, we do have some ladies that are following very faithfully along online with us, just so you all know.
Okay. So as I think most, if not all of you remember, last year's study using the book Becoming a Woman Who Pleases God was based on Proverbs 31, and the major theme of that study was taking the truth of God's word and applying it in wisdom to our unique role as women. Nothing we do has any lasting value or is pleasing to God unless it's from a God-given heart of spiritual wisdom, transforming our motives and attitudes in the things we do. So during that study, I just began to become more and more aware of my great, great need to grow in spiritual wisdom. I've been a believer for many years and have been well taught, but how consistently do I draw from the knowledge I have of Scripture and exercise it in its right use as wisdom? I wanted to approach Colossians with a sincere desire to grow in the wisdom I desperately need. Jenny, in teaching us lesson 4 in our Colossians study, quoted Charles Spurgeon on wisdom. He said, "To know is not to be wise. To know how to use knowledge is wisdom." Then we came to Colossians 1, 9 through 12, and it all comes together in this beautiful prayer. "Since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray and to ask that you may be filled with the firsthand, precise, and correct knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom," applying that knowledge rightly, "and understanding with word-filled reasoning." Why? "So that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light." Then we continued in Colossians, and our focus was shifted to Christ Himself, the Creator of all things, sovereign, supreme, preeminent, head of the church, all-sufficient Savior, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Before the study, I had not really recognized the steady gaze we are given of Christ and His beauty and His excellencies in this little book of Colossians. I think I'm just beginning to comprehend what it means to avail myself of this means of grace and by it to be transformed. But it has impacted how I read His word. 2 Corinthians 3:18, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit." There's more I could say about how the study has impacted my prayer life and how I pray for others, and from Philemon, how it's changed my understanding of effective fellowship. But I want to share just a bit from the perspective of a leader, because I'm so thankful for the faithful and loving ladies, group of ladies I've had the privilege of leading this year. We all went through a difficult loss partway through the year when we lost the dear leader I was assisting, whom we all love so much. But by God's grace, He comforted us and led us to leave it all with Him and continue to be faithful. These ladies have graciously accepted me as their leader, responded to my calls with a sweet, effective fellowship, and have openly shared their hearts in our group time. It's been such a privilege to pray for them and with them. And like Paul said of his friends in Colossians 4:11, they have proved to be an encouragement to me. So thank you, my dear sisters.
Well, I've learned a lot and been reminded of a lot in Colossians and Philemon this year. And thank you to Denise and to Jenny for their solid biblical teaching. We so appreciate that. One of the verses that stood out to me was Colossians 4:2. "Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving." It was the shortest memory verse, and that's not why I chose it, but a little easier to memorize. But what a joy it was to spend time with the Lord praying, and this verse really sheds new light on my actions and my attitude. The idea of being devoted to prayer, holding fast, not letting go, and being courageously persistent in my prayer time, knowing we are relying on God to answer our prayer in His perfect time, looking around the room, I see so many people that we've all prayed for each other, and I'm so grateful for your prayers, and we will keep praying for each other. And I love our big group ladies, and I love our small group ladies. I think it was just such a gift to have that time together. And Jesus is our greatest example of prayer. Luke 5:16, He always made time for prayer. Thinking of Christ, asking the disciples to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane, and they fall asleep. I think we can all relate to that. Luke 22:39-46. I wanted to share a prayer from the Valley of Vision book, and I was given this book 10 years ago by my golfers at Grace Academy. And the prayer is, it's called the Prayer of Love. And it says, "Gracious Lord, Thy name is love. In love receive my prayer. My sins are more than the wide sea sand, but where sin abounds, there is grace more abundant. Look to the cross of Thy beloved Son and view the preciousness of His atoning blood. Listen to His never-failing intercession and whisper to my heart, Thy sins are forgiven. Be of good cheer. Lie down in peace. Grace cataracts from heaven and flows forever, and mercy never wearies in bestowing benefits. Grant me more and more to prize the privilege of prayer, to come to Thee as a sin-soiled sinner, to find pardon in Thee, to converse with Thee, to know Thee in prayer as the path to which my feet tread, the latch upon the door of my lips, the light that shines through my eyes, the music of my ears, the marrow of my understanding, the strength of my will, the power of my affection, the sweetness of my memory. May the matter of my prayer always be wise, humble, submissive, obedient, scriptural, Christ-like. Give me an unwavering faith that supplications are never in vain, that if I seem not to obtain my petitions, I shall have larger, richer answers, surpassing all I think or ask. Unsought, Thou hast given me the greatest gift, the person of Thy Son, and in Him wilt I give all I need." So I love that prayer. And the second part of Colossians 4:2 is keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. So I really wanted my prayers to be more specific rather than unfocused or vague. Matthew 26:41 says, "Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." And the end of Colossians 4:2 says, "Have an attitude of thanksgiving." So I was really working on that. We have so much to be thankful for. Mm-hmm. John MacArthur says, "Paul calls us in verses 2 through 4 to a sustained, alert, thankful commitment to prayer, and specifically to prayer for the proclamation and reception of the gospel of Christ. We all have unsaved loved ones that we pray for. And Jim and I had the joy of having my daughter and her husband and two kids live with us for the last 2 years. And they're unbelievers. So we just prayed for opportunities to share Christ with them. And we know only He can save them. And we have two boys who are saved, so we thank God for that. But throughout the summer, I will keep praying for your unsaved loved ones and family and friends, as I know you will pray for mine too. And I just wanted to close with a prayer of thanksgiving. This is also one of my favorites. "Oh my God, Thou fairest, greatest, first of all objects, my heart admires, adores, loves Thee. For my little vessel is full as it can be, and I would pour out all the fullness before Thee in ceaseless flow. When I think upon the converse with Thee, 10,000 delightful thoughts spring up, 10,000 sources of pleasure unsealed, 10,000 refreshing joys spread over my heart, crowding into every moment of happiness. I bless Thee for the soul Thou hast created, for adorning it, sanctifying it, though it is fixed in barren soil, for the body Thou hast given me, for preserving its strength and vigor, for providing senses to enjoy delights, for the ease of my limbs, for hands, eyes, ears that do bidding, for the royal bounty providing my daily support, for a full table and overflowing cup, for appetite, taste, sweetness, for social joys of relatives and friends, for the ability to serve others, for a heart that feels sorrows and necessities, for a mind to care for my fellow man, for opportunities of spreading happiness around, for loved ones in the joys of heaven, for my own expectation of seeing Thee clearly. I love Thee above the powers of language to express, for what Thou art to Thy creatures. Increase my love, O my God, through time and eternity."
Mm-hmm. Is that okay there?
Yeah, we can
put it down. Yeah, it's fine. You can hear me, right?
Yes.
The light is on my tablet. Sorry about that. I'm just going to read it because I do better that way and I won't go on a rabbit trail or get lost. But when Jenny asked me to share what I've learned, I thought about, you know, in elementary school, when you come back, you have to give the paper on what I learned, what I did on my summer vacation. Joan Hall. But so this is what I learned in WOW this year. Here at Grace, we are truly blessed to be taught the Word of God every week. We are well fed. We get the full meal deal. So we know a lot. But I like to know and then turn it over and over and examine it from every which way. And then talk about it and discuss it with someone. And then there's the appropriation part, integrating it into my life in a purposeful way, listening to the prompting of the Holy Spirit to recall these truths I've been studying and committing to memory, and then walking in them. And that's what we get to do here in our study as we read, listen, discuss, and share all God is showing us in His Word. I have read the book of Colossians probably hundreds of times, mm-hmm. and yet each time I see something new because His Word truly is active and alive. The light shines on it in a different way each time I read it. How is that possible? My husband goes, "You're reading the Bible again?" You know? Yes. His Word never changes, but our perspective does. Mm-hmm. As we walk through our lives with Him, He continually prunes us, waters us, feeds us, and uses our many circumstances, our trials and joys, and then He graciously unfolds yet another layer as we dig deep and grow and study and memorize and meditate on His Word, and by His grace we walk in it. Isn't it amazing how He weaves it all together? Mm-hmm. The sermons we hear, the worship songs we sing to one another with God's truth, our daily quiet time, the devotional books we read, our home fellowship group, and then Becca Melama teaching us, which if you don't, she just blew my mind last time. It just went so well with what we're learning here. And here at Bible study, we all see it, right? How God intertwines it all. The Holy Spirit, the truth teacher, is constantly illuminating our minds and pointing us to Christ and how to walk in obedience to Him. He's the master weaver, taking His Word and threading it through our life stories to create something beautiful and honoring to Him, and we get to do it together. It's been such a huge blessing. Here are just a few things that impacted me from our study. Colossians 1:9, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard about it, have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." Mm-hmm. What a beautiful thing to pray for each other and for ourselves. It should be the goal to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him and to bear fruit as I know Him more and more. I wasn't able to come to Bible study for a few years because of work, and then I just sort of got out of the habit, and I made up really lame excuses like, you know, I'm more of a one-on-one kind of girl. But I've been so encouraged by the thought-provoking provoking teaching and the sweet fellowship among the women. It's precious to me, and we need each other, ladies. Mm-hmm. Also, Colossians 3:2, which is kind of my life verse, "Set your mind on the things above and not on the things that are on the earth. What my mind is stayed on fills my heart with either contentment or peace, or grumbling and complaining, discontent. Put off worldly passions and put on a heart full of Christ's love for others. Trust in His plan for my life every minute of every day. It's a struggle. My mind is such a busy, busy place. By meditating on Christ through His Word, the Holy Spirit continually directs my thoughts back to what words I have put in my heart. Throughout the study, I was amazed at Paul's ability to offer such beautiful words of encouragement to the churches he was writing to, all from a hole in the ground. He was not ruled by his circumstances, but counted it all joy to serve Christ in this way. And even in his admonishment, his words were couched in love and concern for their spiritual lives. I can be harsh sometimes. Like, I think I'm a bulldozer for Jesus, but instead I leave wreckage, not reconciliation. And we see this especially in the book of Philemon. To be truthful, I've always sort of just flitted through the book on my way to the meteor Hebrews. It's a treasure. I'm so thankful to the Lord for opening my eyes to it. Thank you, Denise and Jen, for your excellent teaching of it. I want to take a cue from our brother Paul, who with his kind and encouraging words just sort of put his arm around Philemon. He comes alongside. He doesn't point a finger in his face demanding him to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. But he humbly appeals to his brother. No pride, no flaunting, letting God work in the situation. I see this godly attitude displayed in our church and was convicted to have a tender heart toward all others, just like Jesus. Yes. Overall, I've been made much more aware of my sin as I study his word more. And the more I'm in the word, the more I love Jesus. Yeah. And the more I love Jesus, the more I want to be like him. Mm-hmm. And the more I want to be like him, the more I hate my sin. Yeah. Amen?
Hi, good morning. First and foremost, I wanted to give thanks and honor to God for them to be here this morning. I want to give thanks to Denise and Jen for teaching so faithfully this year. It's been a great encouragement. And so I thank God for what he's done for me in Colossians this year. Paul wrote this book to encourage the believers. One thing that stood out to me is that Christ is the supreme and I do not need anything else. I have been redeemed by his blood for the forgiveness of sin. Christ is the image of the invisible God. By him all things were created and all things exist, visible and invisible. When I'm faced with fears, I am encouraged by the truth of God's word, which I've learned this year, been spending time in God's word and doing my lesson each week. I'm reminded that he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning. Christ is everything I need. I once was an enemy of God, and now he has reconciled me in the body through his death. I've been made alive in him, and I've learned also no one should judge me in food or drink. I've also learned that I need to keep my mind focused on Christ, and again, he is all I need. The gospel continues to bear fruit in my life by allowing me to grow in love for others, hating the sin that I struggle with, and a desire to see others come to know Jesus, praying for others, being steadfast in Christ through difficult challenges. Christ is the one who is working behind every scene, even though I may not understand it. My focus needs to be on Christ daily. As I've learned that while I'm parenting my kids, while I'm submitting to my husband, I've learned to be dependent on God all the time, not to worry, not to fear, and to take what I do not understand to God in prayer. I must continue in the faith, being firmly established and steadfast in his hope. And the Holy Spirit at work in my life to teach me that Christ is my hope of glory, all the fullness dwell in him. I thank God for his grace. I thank God for allowing me to be disciplined, to stay in his word, to pray and read scriptures. I thank God that for giving me wisdom to parent my children according to the nurture and admonition of in him. I thank God for allowing me to stay grounded in his word. And I've learned also through Colossians that Christ has disarmed all rulers and authorities. And I need to remember that who he is, I have freedom in Christ. And he's the wisdom of God. And one of the verses that I like really, Colossians 2, verse 6 and 7, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now been built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. Colossians 2:10. In him you have been made complete, and he is the head over all rule and authority. And another verse I love, Colossians 3:1-2. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on the earth. So my life is safe with Christ, And when Christ is revealed, I'll be revealed with him. I learned that submission is to obey God. It has nothing to do with how I feel. And the Holy Spirit helps me daily. And I've learned that gratitude is important. And I've learned to Philemon that forgiveness is important. And I like the way Paul addresses Philemon and how he just kind of respected him and told him he had to receive one Semes. And I've learned effective fellowship is unity, same mind, walking in spirit, centered on Christ. And I've learned from you ladies as well. Someone said, in God, nothing is wasted. And also, faith exists in the heart, will result in proper fruit. And I thank God for your transparency, ladies. Thank you for going with us this year. I'm going to miss you guys, but I will see you again over the summer. I love you guys. Thank you.
Well, how do I follow that? As I was listening to Natasha, I'm like, oh, okay. Yes, those were all the things. So I'm going to have to weed through because there's a couple things I want to just mention as we go forth with this break that we're going to have. It's such a sweet blessing to my heart, and I know to Jen's and all of us as leaders, to hear how the Spirit is using you in each other's lives, in applying the Word. I mean, that's all God doing that in us, and I'm thankful that we're all united in one spirit and we can have that fellowship that the world can't have with each other. So last week, Queen Elizabeth II celebrated her 96th birthday. Jane actually reminded us of that. And this year, she marks her 70th year of reign. And Peter and I have been watching History Channel about England and all of that. And her Queen Elizabeth's devotion and dedication to the crown and to England are really obvious, aren't they? What devotion? But sadly, she's not known for her devotion to Christ. Mm-hmm. So in 1 Corinthians 2:2, Paul was determined to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul was wholeheartedly devoted to Christ, and that was obvious in his life. And as we read Colossians, hope that came out as well in his writings of who Christ is and his desire to know him. And as true believers, our devotion to Christ, who sits at the right hand of the throne of God, should be obvious. Will we at the end of our days be known as a woman whose life is lived in the fullness of Christ? It's one of the things I grow to understand more is, how's my life going to look as it's fully reflecting Christ? The truths that we learned from Colossians and Philemon help us live life in the fullness of Christ. For Christ is all and in all. And Natasha made reference to that. It's reflecting on this truth. What does it mean that Christ is all? When I'm tempted to believe that who I am in Christ isn't enough, that I must do something or do, I repent and cling to the truth that Christ is all and in him I am complete. When I feel prolonged grief for my sin, I stop, repent, and renew my mind on this truth that Christ is all. This has taken on a new meaning to me as I meditated on that the last couple of years, that his work is sufficient and it is finished. Or when a situation pulls our attention off of our dearest affection, Christ, I repent and ask God to help me to refocus my eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of my faith. Christ is all for our salvation. Christ is all in regard to righteousness. In my quiet time a couple weeks ago, I fell upon this verse. I love how God just does this. Our theme for retreat, a refresh, is sanctification. And so as I was praying through that in 1 Corinthians 1:30, but it is due to God that you are in Christ, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. I love that verse. And we know this one, that he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So through Jesus Christ, we as true believers are as righteous as if we had fully satisfied every law we studied, all the old covenant. Christ is all in regard to sanctification.
again, going back to 1 Corinthians 1:30, holiness is the signature and engraving of God upon the soul. But where does this come from? From God is all and in all. He has made to us sanctification, and it is He who sends His Spirit into our hearts to be a refining fire, to burn up our dross, and make His graces sparkle like gold in a furnace. That was written by Puritan John Flavel. Because we're complete in Christ, we have access to all we need to live a godly, dedicated life. God doesn't ask us to do anything that He isn't going to work through us and with us when we're yielded to Him. So I'd encourage you during this break, think about what it means that Christ is all. Make Christ all in your understanding. I know there are many things I know, skills I might have, but the most important is that I know Christ, and I know more of Him, that we grow in our understanding of who He is. Let Christ have, and I think Deb made reference to this, preeminence. That's primary importance. Is Christ primary importance? Does that reflect in what you do, decisions we make, how we think? And Paul said, count all things to be lost in the view of what? The surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus our Lord. Make Christ all in your affections. Desire nothing but Christ. If Christ is all, love Him better than all. Deuteronomy 6:5, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And make Christ all in your abilities. Do all in His strength. I know if I plan out to do something and I'm not walking in Him, we're just cranking it out and it's really of no value. And yet God is faithful to give us His strength and empower us to do what He's called us to do. So we who have Christ have no lack, for Christ is all and in all. And what a tremendous cause for thanksgiving. And I love, Natasha, what you said. It is all thanksgiving that came through in your sharing with us this morning. May we live life in the truth that Christ is all and He's sufficient, and be women known as wholeheartedly devoted to Him. Our WOW study break is officially upon us, but don't neglect your relationship with Christ. I know it's easy to do. If you struggle to be in the Word, reach out to one of the leaders and or prayerfully consider an accountability partner through the summer. Keep renewing your mind in His precious Word. And like iron sharpening iron, we are to function within the body of Christ, encouraging each other in our walk with Him. Let's be that for each other, for Christ is all and in all. Let me just close in prayer. Father, we just praise You and thank You for Your Word, Lord. Thank You so much for how You have grown our understanding of who You are, that You have given us wisdom to apply these truths. Lord, You continue to give us wisdom as we walk out our lives, desiring to glorify and honor You in what we say and what we do. Father, we love You. We thank You so much for Your precious Word. Thank You for Your Holy Spirit that illumines truth, Lord, that prompts growth in our lives. Thank You for that. Thank You, Lord, for each precious woman that's here. Thank You, Lord, for their faithfulness to be in the Word. Thank You for our faithful leaders, those that have uplifted this ministry in prayer, those who are our helpers, all of those who have glorified God in reflecting His character in serving all of us. Lord, I just thank You so much for this time. May our discussion around our tables be sweet, and Lord, that as we go from this place, that we would continue to reflect on the truth that Christ is all. And we just thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.